Okay, let me begin with a word of prayer and we'll get right into our message. Father, I do thank you for this time, where we can come to worship you in so many different ways. We can worship you with the monetary things we have, but I think what's most important is that we worship with our hearts, and that the things that we do are in alliance or in accordance to your will. So, Father, I pray that the words that are spoken today are true to your word, and I pray that the Holy Spirit takes these words and just anchors them right into our spirit and allows it to be our foundation, as that's what our sermon title is here today. And this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, I was thinking of a foundation, and as Marianne was talking about how her grandmother was a fundamentalist, and I remember the day when I actually figured out what a fundamentalist was. You know, I never really heard that before, and someone accused me of being a fundamentalist, and I'm like, well, what is that? You know? And so I had to go back through and look it up, and in a way, I kind of am a bit of a fundamentalist. You know, just the basic word of Scripture is what's important to me. There's so much that's added to that, and so maybe what we need to be not called so much fundamentalists, but maybe we need to be foundationalists. And that's what we'll be looking at here today. So I want you to be thinking of the time where, because our first scripture is going to be in Job, and that story of where Job is quite a prominent man, and he's been blessed beyond blessings from a lot of people's standards. And we look at it and we say, man, that's real important to be able to have those blessings. And he seems to have a really good connection with God. But something happens to him. He gets sick. And we see some of the behind the scenes about God and Satan having these discussions. Well, Job gets really sick and he has three friends that come over to him. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And then there's another one too, Elihu, that comes up and speaks. And most of the whole book is about these four individuals, five individuals actually, having a discussion about what is righteous and their personal opinions. And then guess who gets into the picture in chapter 38? But God himself. And he starts talking a little bit about, where were you when this earth was created? Where were you when I laid all those foundational aspects of, you know, building blocks of this particular earth? Where were you when all of that was done? And here you guys are just kind of like debating stuff that you really have no clue about. And God actually says these words here in Job 8, verse 6. On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? And I think that's a really good question that we have to ask continually within ourselves. What is the foundation of this church established on? What is the foundation of our lives established on? What is the foundation of this earth, this solar system, this universe established on? Because I will guarantee you that if you have that wrong, everything else that's built on top of that is wrong. So guess what we're going to talk about today? That foundation to make sure that we are where we should be and where we should be thinking about making sure that we're on the right foundation always. No matter where we are, no matter what we do, no matter what our circumstances are, we need that foundation because it's really God's foundation for us. So for those that can't see, and I'm talking about Zoom people and even Bev, and everybody here, I'm going to explain a little bit of, there's a lot of picture stuff that goes on here, so I want to make sure that people can understand what goes on. So let's look at this first picture, scripture that we have, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse verses 10 through 15. And we're looking again at that base foundation of what it's all about. So, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. And someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid. Ooh. All right, so there is one foundation. That's universal. It needs to stay. Let's see what it is. Which is Jesus Christ. Thank you for that amen. All right, so right there is going to be our base. Let me continue. And if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is. Because the day, with a capital D, which means the day when the Lord returns, he will bring light, bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So is it possible to try to build another foundation? People try. But what Scripture is saying is that there is only one foundation. Do people try to put things on that foundation that don't belong there? Yes, they do. Should they? No. Why don't they? Sometimes they just don't know the foundation. And they become confused, and they think what they're doing is right, but really what's happening is that they're confusing people that goes with it. So we're going to start out with a foundation here. And that foundation is going to be pretty simple. It's going to be one big blue circle. And around that blue circle is just white stuff. But I want you to think of everything that goes into that blue circle as our foundation. So does anybody want to take a guess what should be in the center of our foundation? Jesus Christ. Thank you. According to the scripture that we just had, our foundation should have Jesus Christ right in the center of that. Now I want you to imagine your foundation. Is Jesus Christ in the center of your foundation? If so, praise God. If not, guess what? Have an awakening. Have an awareness. Have some knowledge to know that Jesus Christ needs to be the center of your foundation, which means everything that you think, everything that you do, everything that you say, every intention you have, seriously needs the blessing of Jesus Christ. Everything. Because that is our foundation. It's how God created the world. It's how God created us. It is so, so important to be able to do that. And then, so really as churchy people, you know, people that worship God, there's other things that kind of go in there, even with Jesus Christ being in the center. Good stuff. Things that the scripture tells us to be able to help with our foundation, build upon that foundation. And we're going to be looking at some scripture that's going to show you in this little visual context, plus reading the scripture, to help build up what that foundation should look like. So let's read another scripture that we're going to have from John in chapter 6, verses 28 through 29. It says, then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? And these are the words from Jesus, because he answers, and he says, Jesus says this, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So let's lay some of these words down onto our scripture, or onto our foundation. So we've got Jesus Christ in the center of our big blue circle, which is our foundation, and we're going to add a word to that. And that word is believe. Does everybody agree that we have to believe as part of our foundation of who Jesus Christ is? Yeah, amen. Amen to that sort of thing. Well, let's look at some more scripture that talks about some of our foundation, what it should consist of. In Psalm 89, verse 14, says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you." So we're going to add some of this stuff on here. We've got righteousness and justice. So if I come back to our foundation where Jesus Christ is there, we now have believe in there. I'm going to put the word righteousness in there. I'm going to put the word justice in there. I'm going to put the word love in there. And I'm going to put the word faithfulness in there. Now, be assured, when we're talking about justice, we're talking about God's justice. When we're talking about righteousness, we're talking about God's righteousness. There is such a thing as self-righteousness or our own righteousness, but it's God's righteousness that needs to be put in there. When we're looking at the circle, and we're seeing already that it's starting to fill up a little bit with some of these powerful words that are in there. Things that really become the establishment of who we are. Because as Christians who believe in Jesus Christ, we're born again and we have His righteousness, His love, His justice. Right? And we can see how all of a sudden now the character of that believer seems to start changing a little bit than maybe what they were when they were younger or before they knew Christ. And it comes along to actually, you know, realize that there's even more yet to be able to look on that foundation. So let's go to another scripture. I can get this working here. In Isaiah 33:6, he says, "He will be the sure foundation for your times." Now, sometimes we're looking at, this is Isaiah, this is the Old Testament and stuff. But you know what? God never changes. God is our sure foundation in any time, even today's time. Because as Pat brought up about how Israel and the Palestinians there, Palestine, how do you say?
Palestine.
Yeah, Israel and Palestine are in this huge conflict, and there's just lives are being lost. You know, missiles being thrown back and forth, and then you know we look at the you know the things that are happening around the world and the wars that are going on, and the anger that just seems to be there. But let's look at that sure foundation in our times. He says, "A rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge and the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure." So we got four items over here: salvation, wisdom, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. Let's come back to our big circle of the foundation, and we're going to end up putting in salvation. We're going to end up putting wisdom, and we're going to put knowledge, and we're going to put fear of the Lord. Again, I want to emphasize that the salvation is not our own salvation. It's the salvation from the Lord. That the knowledge is not our own knowledge and just the scientific stuff that we have. It is the knowledge that comes from the Lord. The wisdom that comes from the Lord. And that fear of the Lord that we have. We were talking at the men's group too. That was my discussion that we had. We were looking in the book of Nahum, one of the minor prophets. And it really shows that the individuals back in the Old Testament lost the fear. They had no fear of the Lord. They decided to do whatever they wanted to do. Guess what foundation they lost? Right? And part of my role, I think, as a pastor, is to help encourage you folks. I can't make any of you. I can't change your hearts. That's the Lord can do that sort of thing. But what I want to do is present to you what your foundation should be. At least from my minor understanding of what the Lord has been speaking to me these past few weeks. That we need to have a rock solid foundation and know what that foundation is if we are to carry out God's work. If we are to be the salt of the earth, we need to have that foundation. If we are to be the light of this, you know, allow that light of God to shine through us, we need to have His foundation established firmly inside of us. Would you all agree to that? Amen. Can you tell I'm really excited about doing this sort of thing? It's been on my heart here for a while. And I'm glad. I just...
Pastor, it's because the world is creeping in so... Yeah, and here and there, you know, and we're letting them do it.
Yeah.
And we need to take a stand on our foundation.
On the foundation, right.
Right.
For those, if you didn't hear that on Zoom, it's like Fern is saying that, you know, the world is creeping in. And it's changing sometimes what our foundation is, or we need to not let that happen. All right, I've got more scripture that we're going to be looking at over here. So let's go to Luke chapter 6, 46 through 49. And this is... some words it says, let me just read it. It says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and the destruction was complete." We've got the difference here between having a foundation on the rock, and that rock representing God's foundation, versus people building on zero foundation. And you can see that both of those houses went through storms. Only one survived. The one that was built on the foundation of God survives. Why? It's not so much the construction of the house. I mean, it's part of that. But it's where that individual decided to place their house. And if it was me, I'd place it in the center of the rock. Because I want Jesus Christ to be in the center of my foundation. Not on the ledge, not in some crevice of the rock, but on the center of that rock. And it's the rock that protects us from the storm. That foundation protects us. So the question is, that runs through my mind, why are these churches, these Bible-preaching churches about Jesus Christ, not filled? Do they not know who Jesus Christ is? Do they not know that He is the foundation of all life? Do they not know that our salvation comes from Him? And it saddens me, because there's a lot of people that have built their houses on nothing. And we will have storms. And in fact, some of us are having storms right now. Some of them, those storms are going to be individual. Some of those storms are going to be within the family. Some of those storms are going to be in your community. Some of those storms are going to be nationwide, worldwide. How will we be able to stand? The only way we can stand is if we have a firm foundation with Jesus Christ in the center of that. Sure.
Last night I lay in bed, and when you said that circle, it just hit me. I'd lay in bed and had, of course, you know, I can't see, had my eyes shut, and that circle came to me right inside, and inside that was a cross.
That's good.
And I opened my eyes again, and it was gone. And I shut my eyes again, and it came back. It was, isn't that something?
Yeah. So. Yeah, look, what color did I choose for Jesus Christ and on the screen?
Yeah,
that was white. Yeah.
The circle, yeah. So I think it was blue, but the inside was white, yeah, and the cross.
What? How do you plan that? How do you manage that sort of thing? Yeah. So. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. That is so cool. Thank you. Bev's dream there is, as talks about blue background with a white color, and we've got here we've got Jesus Christ as white. So even what Scripture is saying here is that foundation is fundamental to our faith and our believing system here. So let's look at what else can go into this foundation that we've got here. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, it says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone." Again, here's another scripture that keeps referring back to Jesus Christ being the center of that foundation, and we've got some other things that come in onto that foundation. He says, "In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." So let's go back to our scripture, or the visual that we have of our blue circle with Jesus Christ in the center of it. And we have love, wisdom, salvation, justice, believe, fear of the Lord, righteousness, knowledge, faithfulness. And let's add in children of God. We are on that foundation. We're part of that foundation. I want you to know that. Because there will be others that will build upon what we have. Even what Paul was saying is that he takes great care in how he builds the foundation of one person's faith, because somebody else will build upon it. But if that foundation is in error, how wrong can so many other things go? We get to be part of that foundation. And that's what other people see. They see Christ in us. Now that puts a little weight on your shoulder, maybe. Maybe that's even a little scary. So let's just go about and not say that we're even Christians, because then we don't have that responsibility. I used to do that. I didn't want to proclaim that I was a Christian because I wanted people to find out on their own. I don't do that anymore. I don't want people just to think that I'm a good person, because there's a lot of faults in me. Just ask Hope. But I am a believer. And that's who I am. All right, let's look at another scripture here. And 1 Timothy chapter 3, 14 through 15. "Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth." So, there's another word that we can put in there into our big blue circle of a foundation. I'm going to put up in the upper right-hand corner, truth needs to be part of that foundation. And again, we are talking God's truth. That's going to be established in that. I've got one more that we're going to do in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy." So on that foundation, I'm going to add holy to that. It's just underneath believe there. I don't believe this is a full, comprehensive foundation picture of Scripture. I could be here days going on and adding things in there. But are you getting the idea of what God's foundation looks like? that there's an awful lot of goodness that's there. There's an awful lot of things that we need to ask God for to be able to complete. But if you just look at that foundation, and if every individual in this world had that foundation, how different the world would be today. That's what God is striving for. I keep talking about this from time to time, and I like repeating it because it gives us our focus. That eternal destiny, that God is, the eternal purpose of what God is going through and putting us through and everything, is that God wants to be our God, and He wants us to be His people. If we lose sight of that, we're losing sight of this foundation. This is what He wants. This is what He expects. This is what He commands us to do. Not only that, He compels us to be like this. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the center of our foundation. And this is what it looks like for those things that are around Jesus Christ on our foundation. Just look at us. You should be able to see righteousness. You should be able to see truth. You should be able to see the salvation that Christ has for you. The holiness that God is. Because we are part of that foundation. It's so, so important to be able to see that. But now I'm going to turn this message a little bit different here. We're going to look at that foundation, not from what the foundation is, but what's not on the foundation. So let's look at the scripture verse that I've got here. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, says, "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, 'The Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness.'" Ah, pretty strong. Why must they turn away from wickedness? Wait, I don't see that in our foundation, do you? So what's outside of that foundation, now in this white spot, we're going to start filling that up with some stuff. So wickedness is something that's outside of God's foundation. Can you see that visually? Okay, good. That's what I'm looking for. Let's look at some more. In Hebrews 3, 16 through 19, who were they who heard and rebelled? They were not all, or were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom he was angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. So here the Israelites were saved from the Egyptian slavery, brought by God out of all of that into the desert to be traveling to the promised land. But when they start to get to the promised land, what did they do? But they disobeyed God and they were unfaithful to Him. So those are the things that God is not going to allow you to do, to get into His rest, into His inheritance. Let's look at this here. So we're going to go back to Jesus Christ and our foundation. And on the outside of that blue circle, we're going to put these words here of disobedience and unbelief. Because they do not belong on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Well, there's a few other things that we can find in Scripture that belong on the outside of that foundation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, the idolaters, the adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexuals, offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, or slanderers, nor swindlers will enter the kingdom of God. Wow. There's a list for you. But look what he says here. And this is our hope, right? And that is what some of you were, past tense. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we've got a couple things going on here. We've got some bad stuff, and we actually have some good stuff in there too. So let's go to our screen, and on the outside, we're going to add some of those things that were mentioned in that scripture right now. So let's add sexually immoral on the outside of that foundation. Let's add idolaters on the outside. Let's add adulterers on the outside. Let's add prostitutes. Let's add homosexuals. Let's add thieves. Let's add the greedy. Let's add the drunkards. Let's add the slanderers. And let's add the swindlers on the outside. That does not belong, all of those things do not belong on the foundation that Jesus Christ has established for us. That's outside of where we should be. What else was there in Scripture that we could add? Well, we can add washed. And put that in just to the right of Jesus Christ. I can put that we've been sanctified up about noon there. And in that blue circle, we're going to add another one, justified. Though we may have been those things, we can still enter that foundation because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So there is hope for everyone on this world. There is hope. But if they try to build their own foundation, there is no hope. I want to look a little bit more here and realize another problem that we have with our foundation. And this kind of alludes to what Fern has been talking about in terms of the world kind of coming into our church and some of the issues that deal with that. Let's look at this here. And this is Paul's speaking about the gospel that he preaches. And then the next scripture we're going to have is about how frustrated Paul has become because of the what's twisted. But let's start out with what his basis is. In Romans chapter 1, verse 14 through 17, he says, I am obligated both to the Greeks and to non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. So who does Paul preach the gospel to? Everybody. It does not matter where they come from. It does not matter what they're doing. What's important is that they hear that gospel that he so very delicately helps build that foundation. He reads on, and it reads on and says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, this scripture verse here, is Paul using anything that's on that foundation that we have written in the blue circle? Yes, he is. Why? He knows the foundation. The center of that foundation being Jesus Christ. And then he throws in these other things about the righteousness. He talks about faith. He talks about salvation. He talks about believing. All of those things are the foundation of Christ. And those are the things that Paul should be preaching. Guess what? Those are the things that we should be preaching. Those are the things we should be talking about. Because that is the root, the central focus, the rock that we stand on. Paul does that. So when he starts hearing something else going on, listen to his tone. I don't know if I can put it in there the way he might do it, but I'll try. In Galatians 1, 6 through 9, I am astonished, right? In that word, surprised, unexpected, that you were so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. A different foundation. Which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. That's a strong statement. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than the one you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Now, when someone says it twice, they mean it. I like to not repeat myself at school, because the second time it's a little firmer. I should tell a story about somebody who flew an airplane when they came into class, seventh graders. And I don't like that. So I told them. I said, no airplanes. I said, put it away. I didn't even ask them to throw it out or anything. Just put it away. I don't want to see it. We don't throw airplanes in this classroom. And so I got busy doing attendance and stuff. And guess what I see flying again? All right, then that teacher voice comes out. What part of do not fly that plane in this classroom did you not understand? I'm not joking. I was like that. The room was silent. I said, pick it up, tear it up, and throw it in the garbage. I said it a second time. I have great relationships with the kids. But I told them, I said, those are the buttons that will press me and push me to the point where I have to say it a second time with that teacher voice. And I don't like doing that. But my threshold for some things is that I found in teaching that I had no idea, you know, where my thresholds to be, my little line and stuff like that. So it floated all over the place. My line now is about an inch off the ground. Seriously. But the kids know it. Right? So I'm consistent with what I want. When I first started teaching, I didn't know what it was. And sometimes our Christianity is that way. We don't know where God's line is. And we start to find it as we start to experience things through life. We get tested. We, you know, sometimes Satan tempts us and stuff. And we fall sometimes. And then someone helps us and brings us back. We find that line. And we accept where that line is because it's really God's line. And Paul has drawn the line that there is only one gospel out there. And if there's somebody else preaching another gospel, then they should be eternally condemned. Because they have no place in heaven. They're doing that. So what does that look like in our circle here? We've got this beautiful blue circle with all of our foundational words that's inside that. We've got the white part outside of that. That's all that wickedness and the evil stuff that God doesn't want, doesn't do him any service at all. But what happens when there's a different gospel being preached? I want to show you basically what happens. All of a sudden, in that blue circle, we're going to start to see those words shrink. They become smaller. Now, they might still have Jesus Christ inside there. But all of a sudden, where it talks about righteousness, well, yeah, there's righteousness. Holiness, well, yeah, there's holiness. But never really becomes a foundation of what we really are supposed to do. And then what we do is we put other things in there. Like Paul is screaming at these people because there's people preaching that you have to be circumcised to be a Christian. Right, they're taking some of the old law stuff and throwing that into the New Testament, a testament of grace, to these Gentiles that have no history. But I'm going to back it up just a little bit here. Now, when I put that circumcision word in the foundation, I want you to look at the word Jesus Christ. That shrinks as well, doesn't it? So, when you start to become legalistic in your church, in your faith, what you're doing is you're diminishing the actual foundation of Jesus Christ, and you're definitely diminishing all of the other foundational things that go with it. So maybe these people preaching the false gospel were also throwing in other words. Maybe they were throwing in rituals. Well, if you're a Christian, you have to go and be part of this missionary thing all the way to Haiti. Because if you don't, then you're obviously not a Christian. And you can just understand sometimes the rituals that churches kind of put on individuals, or individuals sometimes even put on themselves. People have asked me, how long should I actually be reading Scripture, every day? I'm like, whatever the Lord tells you to do. Listen to the Lord. If He says, two Scripture verses, is fine, and you can really take that to heart, and that becomes part of your day, that is perfect. But maybe some people need an hour of reading Scripture every day. They need that bigger reinforcement that goes with it. So what's the ritual? It depends on what the Lord is putting on your lives. How about this next one here? And again, watch the words Jesus Christ when I put it in. I think it's going to be in the lower left-hand side I'm going to put in here. Your loyalty. Loyalty to what? An individual? Sometimes pastors, people will be loyal to pastors, which is not the right thing to do. Your loyalty is to Christ and Christ alone. You can support pastors, and you can support other individuals in there in prayer and all that stuff, and you can work with them, and that's fine. But sometimes our loyalty goes outside of the church even. That there's certain individuals that we want next to us, and we'll do whatever they say. If you're putting that type of loyalty to an individual, then the word Jesus Christ on your foundation is becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. Man is man, but God is God. Even Paul says that. He wasn't brought up with the other disciples and stuff. He says, I don't care what they do. What I do is what the Lord tells me to do. He's loyal to God and God alone, not to man. And if your loyalty lies with a man, woman, or a family, or a situation or whatever, then that's not really your foundation. And all of a sudden, we start to see these other words creeping up in here. How about another one we put in there? Rights. As a Christian, I have the right to. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, Paul does say that all things are possible, but not all things are beneficial. We have to be careful, because what we say, what we do, I know God has given us freedoms to be able to do, to be free, to choose. But really that freedom is to choose what God wants us to do. Not just what we feel like at the moment. Not just some agenda that we want to put out there. Because it's minimizing Jesus Christ over and over and over again, and that whole foundation which He sets up. How about if we put in here, possessions? Well, look at me. Got a new boat. got the best boat out there. 500 cc's. This thing can go, 80 miles an hour. No cop is going to catch me. Yeah, God's blessed me. I have so much. It shows. Right? Just look at all the stuff that I have. That is not what the foundation is about. Even the early church, they had nothing. And yet, that's when God was moving the most. It's not about having the most amount of money and saying, oh, God has blessed me, so that's great. Maybe He has. But if it's having the money, having the big house, having the big car, having the big boat, having all this stuff shows your Christianity, then Jesus Christ is pretty small on your foundation. Let's look here at the next one, on the very top, empowerment. Well, as a believing Christian, people better listen to me. And I'm going to go out there and I'm going to tell them how it is. No, you need to go out there and tell them what God says we need to do. Without all this other stuff. And it's pretty scary too, because when we start looking at all the stuff that's inside here. Oh, maybe here's another one I've got. Just underneath that, Jesus Christ put in there tolerance. Well, it's okay. You can be whoever you want and still believe. You can do whatever you want and still believe. You can do anything and believe, and we'll accept that. Look how big Jesus Christ is in that foundation right now. In fact, what happens even more so is that that foundation changes where there's no longer Jesus Christ in the center, but maybe your work, your wealth, your status becomes the center focus of that foundation. And when that happens, look what happens now. All of those foundational things that God wanted to be put in there, the salvation, the faith, the wisdom, the knowledge, and all of that of God and everything, that's all completely gone. And now you have a foundation that has absolutely nothing in there that is related to God. No foundation at all. Does that give you a visual of what's really kind of happening with some of us sometimes? And I don't just mean here, I mean just in general in terms of Christians. Is that they no longer have Jesus Christ as their foundational center. And because of that, they literally have no foundation at all. Another way to look at some of this here, if we come back, I was going to say too, is that what happens is those words, the rituals, the tolerance, circumcision, loyalty, possessions, rights, and empowerment become bigger and you become louder and stronger in your voice and everything, but yet it means nothing. Just because you're saying it louder doesn't mean that it's true. Just because you're saying it over and over and over again doesn't make it true. The only way it can be truth is if we go back to this screen here, our original one, where we have Jesus Christ in the center, and we have all those things that people put into what we think is the foundation of Christ. Remove those things and become foundationalists in our faith. That's what's important. And it's something that we need to personally look at and review and ask God to get into our lives and say, God, is there something on this foundation that you don't want that shouldn't be there? My guess is He's going to come and say, yes, Mike, I want you to get rid of this now. Because it doesn't work with my foundation. with God's foundation. And I don't want it there. I want you folks that hear this message to consider your foundation. What's there? And a lot of times, you don't know it's there until you speak it. You don't know it's there until someone challenges you on a particular question. And what's your response to that? Sometimes you don't know what's there until you go through that storm and you have to make a choice. Are you going to let that storm control your life, or are you going to let Jesus Christ control your life? When you come to those moments, and sometimes we were talking even at the men's time, sometimes that happens right at the pinnacle of death, just before you die. Jesus' offer is valid, even at that point, to believe in Him. Take that foundation and realize that all those things that you've been doing in your life means nothing. A couple other examples I've got to show you because I think it's important too, is that when we have this blue circle right in the center with Jesus Christ there and all of those scriptural foundational words that are there, and then on the outside of that we still have all those evil words out there, some people's faith looks like this here. Where that blue circle is no longer completely surrounded by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ becomes a small word that's there. And all of a sudden now your focus is something else. Maybe your focus, you know, you still have a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of truth. You still believe and holy, but yet thieving is fine. Being an adulterer, we can live with that. We can live with being disobedient to whoever, even the authorities that we have, you know, established within our governments. Because we have those rights to be able to do that. So what happens is, when you're talking with somebody, it becomes difficult because there's certain things that you agree upon and there's other things that you're completely against. Because the foundation is off kilter. But maybe your foundation doesn't look like that. Maybe your foundation looks like this one over here, where you believe in the fear of the Lord and you believe in righteousness. But you're also a drunk. You're into homosexuality. You're sexually immoral. You're into porn. It doesn't fit. And you can just imagine that little blue circle. Sometimes it's big, sometimes it's small. It'll take a little bit of Christianity in there, show you as a good person, but inside, you're kind of rotten. Inside, you're kind of torn apart because you've got these conflicting things going on. God in the world, God in the world, God in the world. And you can't establish a base because your foundation isn't correct. You've allowed things on your foundation that don't belong there. To me, this message is unbelievably important for Christians to hear. And put this together, so when we come in, and let's look at this Acts 4, 8 through 12. It's the last scripture verse, and I've got, I think, one more picture afterwards. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for our act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this." Okay, here comes that point. Know this. "You and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is," talking about Christ, "the cornerstone," or "the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. Let's go right back to the very first picture that we had, the very basics of what our foundation is, and it's Jesus Christ. If we're consumed by things other than Him, that is not a foundational aspect of what God wants. Every time we add something to that foundation that doesn't belong there, Jesus Christ becomes smaller and smaller and smaller, to the point where He becomes just a name, but basically non-existent. How is that? Every time we add legalistic things, Jesus Christ becomes smaller. We add loyalties to individuals other than Christ, Christ becomes smaller. It will always happen that way. I don't want us to have a twisted, warped gospel. I want our foundation to be Jesus Christ and all of those blessed words that come along with that. As I said, we are to be the salt of the world. Scripture says, if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Paul was very careful how he spoke. Paul was very careful with what he did. How he presented himself, what he expected, you know, from the people that were with him. You know, whether they supported him or not. The letters he wrote were always encouraging letters. Some of them pretty strong. Because he didn't want people to get off the foundation of Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus Christ can we find salvation. Father, I do thank You for this message. I pray that it goes out, touches the hearts of individuals to spend some time with You. Ask questions. And really just listen. And hear and even see what He has for us. God the Father is our true Father. He will teach us. He'll show us. He'll give us what we need to keep that foundation pure and holy. I thank You, God. And this we pray through Your Son. Amen.